Once again, it's good to be back to worship the Lord. It was very exciting last week. We tried to get a video done there in JB and here, and we tried to make the connection. And while we were connecting, I was together with the Hokkien people and teaching how to worship God with our dance. So it's very exciting. And is it ready? And then we had to go rush to the next room, and it's not ready to come back again. But it was good that in my absence, I believe the Lord bless us, and my spirit is with you all, worshiping together. And let us pray. I'm going to share God's word. Father, this afternoon I commit myself into your hand. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, Lord, this afternoon truly be acceptable to you. Bless us as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today I'm going to share concerning a very familiar passage taken from Isaiah 53, and many speakers will use this as a healing service, a healing passage. But I just want to touch on these 12 verses, just one verse, which is verse 3, that Jesus is a man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. Right, just before I start, I just want to share a story that I read, a true story that happens in Japan, and I believe that this story will, as I tell this story, it reflects upon Isaiah 53. As you listen to this story, you can reflect upon, it's similar to the scripture reading just read. I read of a true story of a boy in Japan. This whole story is, to me, is why God did what he did. Why did he do such thing as coming down to the earth? And this is a true story of a boy in Japan. On the first day attending school, right, this boy with his friends, they were very nervous, including the teacher. On that day of the school, the children were all gathered in their class, Suddenly, this boy stood up and ran out of the classroom, right? And then he came back into the classroom with a bucket of water and then poured it over the girl sitting next to him, right? He went out and he took a bucket of water and poured it onto the girl sitting next to him. Everyone was shocked, and some of them were laughing and finding it so ticklish and so humorous, so amusing that this boy can do such a thing on the first day of school. But the teacher strongly demanded an answer from this boy. Why? She asked him repeatedly why he did such a silly thing, and the boy refused to give her any explanation. After pouring the water, he sat down with the bucket and started the lesson. But after many, many months, and all during that time, the boy was being ridiculed for what he has done on the first day. The teacher watched the boy quietly throughout these months and saw that actually this boy is a good boy, a very exemplary boy, right? This made the teacher wonder why he did such a thing on the first day. And the teacher asked the boy, "I will not get angry with you anymore, but please let me know why you did such a crazy, silly thing," the teacher pleaded with him. Only after so many months, only then the boy tell her the whole story. And the boy said, "On the first day of school, we were all so nervous." And then the boy explained, "I noticed the girl next to me was crying." That's why he poured. "The girl next to me was crying. Looking down, I saw a puddle, right? And realized that this girl, little girl, had lost control of her bladder in her anxiousness. And the only thing I could think of was to pour water all over her so that no one would realize that she was crying because she had lost control and had a puddle under her seat, a puddle of water." So the boy took the blame and the accusation of being crazy, silly on himself, just to cover for the little girl's puddle, the pool of water under her. Silly as it may sound to be, but I believe we have our puddles in our lives, right? Two things we can do, like this little girl. We can remain there. We can continue to be in a puddle and sit down there. Or we can ask God to cover up or take away the puddle, I mean the water, so that we will not be ashamed. We all sin against God. That's what we realize. And sin took its toll on us. Isaiah 53, being just read, speaks of God set aside his power, right, and chose to become man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and that's what I'm going to share this afternoon. To save us by paying for our sins and covering up our puddle, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the only human, while on earth, the only human who ever lived really a sinful life. There's nothing you can find in him that's wrong, a sinless life, so that he alone being qualified to become our sacrifice to pay for our sin by dying on a cruel cross. And then on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. We know that he, who had no sin of his own, but suffered and died for the sin of the world. Just like the little boy, just like the boy in the story, quickly thought and hatched his plan so that he could protect his classmate. God the Father, right, devised a plan to save us from our sins. Just like the little boy's plan involved him having to take all the scorn and ridicules, the shame. To me, I believe that God the Father's plan meant that he had to painfully give up his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take all the scorn, all the shame we deserve. The boy in the story became so bad as to cover for his classmate's puddle. The Lord Jesus himself became sin for us, to cover for us our so-called puddle in our life, puddle or pool, that we mess up in our life. Now, what kind of puddle are we in, right? What kind of puddle are we in a sense, spiritually? A puddle of sins, addiction, bitterness. You may be in a puddle of sickness even today, financial debts, a puddle of breaking down your family. These are the things that we are ashamed of. I don't know, but God, only I can tell us this afternoon, that God cannot only cover your puddle, but he will take it away. Just like the boy paid the price of being ridiculed in order to shield his classmate, the Lord Jesus paid the price of being put to shame in order to cover us up. I think this story has a lot of significance. The boy in this story loved his classmate, even first time knowing her, and was willing just to cover up, pour water on him, on her, so that as to cover up her shame. Like the little girl did nothing at all, actually. She just sat down there, cried, but received the God boy's protection, right? So we can do nothing to earn God's love and protection. God's gift of love is free, we know, right? In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we know that a gift remains in the hand of the giver until it's being received. We need to open our heart and receive God's gift of love, protection, of compassion, of mercy, and to be able to save us from our sin. But we have to open our hearts. And this afternoon, I'm praying that many of us in certain situations we are ashamed of, we are so caught up in a puddle of sinfulness. Pray this simple prayer, right? Pray this simple prayer. Say that, "Lord, help me this afternoon to hear your word this afternoon today, to know and appreciate your love and care for me. You are indeed a man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. And Lord, you can take away my puddle." And if this is your prayer, I pray that this afternoon, even as share God's word, you'll receive, love, security in the Lord. As the little girl cried over the puddle of her shame, we have sinned and we have our puddle of shame beneath us. But we have a choice, actually. We do have a choice. We can deny that we have this puddle under us, or we can cry and continue to be in a pool of puddle, right? Seems to be talking a lot of puddle. But we can look to God and look down at our puddle of pool of puddle below us and become depressed. God wants us to look up to him, and this is afternoon I'm going to share. And he stands there willing to protect and to save us from all sorts of shame. The Lord Jesus Christ does not only cover us with water like a little boy, he covers us with his own blood to save us. Christ indeed, right, is God yet he's man. Christ indeed is a man of sorrow. Verse 3 in Isaiah, a man of sorrows and a man acquainted with grief. Right? So let us just once again read through these 12 verses so that we can really be so in our mind. Okay, let us look at these few verses again. Okay, let us read these few verses together. Ready? Go. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for transgression, he was crushed for iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wound we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for generation considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has to put to grief. When his soul makes an offering of a guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with many, and he shall divide it. Because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered among the transgression, yet he bore the sin of many, and takes intercession for transgression. Yeah, the word of the Lord is so clear of what Jesus did, and he was a man, not only just a man, he's a man of sorrows, and he's a man acquainted. That means Jesus is very, very familiar with what grief is all about. His life, in fact, was full of grief. So today I'm just going to share this truly. Verse 53 says here, he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I pray that this afternoon, right, we may turn not so much to the babe at Bethlehem, but to the man of sorrows at the Calvary. And also, that we may turn to the man of sorrows at Gethsemane rather than the man at Nazareth, just a common man who does healing. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he suffers, he was so sorrowful and prayed. You know the rose, many of us use perfume, right? The rose, it is said that the rose petals, when crushed, really crushed and pressed, right, you produce a kind of oil that gives the most expensive perfume ever happened. So the collection I read in the internet, collect how many thousands of rose and break the petals, and it has to be pressed and crushed until the oil comes out. And once the oil comes out, it gives a very sweet, very expensive perfume, very good aroma. So what does this got to do with our Lord? Let me just share this, all right? Yeah, the bark of the tree bleeds precious blood that brings forth healing. So even as the rose is being crushed, and many times in these few verses, the Lord crushed him. God crushed him in order to be perfect, in order to be the savior of the world. And 3 points I want to share with us this afternoon, quickly, 3 points. Firstly is that the Bible tells us a man in verse 3. Not only Jesus is a man, but he's a man of sorrows, and he's a man acquainted with grief. Now we're going to the first word, amen. Mark tells us that, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all. Jesus, let us concentrate now firstly, Jesus the man, the doctrine of the manhood of God. Jesus is known as a man, and he's certainly, this man is certainly very God, of very God, yet he's a man. So there's two in him. But while he is on earth, he's purely, purely human man. That's why he prayed to his Father. Jesus, the highest, stooped down, became the lowest. Jesus, the man, was born as the Son of Mary on this earth, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. Jesus, the man, needed to be nursed like babies this day, needed to be nursed by a mother as many other little baby, yet he is the Son of God. And Jesus, the man, asked for a drink from the Samaritan woman at the well. And this Jesus, the man, rested in a boat in order to have a nap, sleep. So he's purely man. He gets tired, he gets thirsty. Jesus, the man who ate and drank, hungered and teared. He cried for people. And Jesus, the man inside of him, could be touched and handled when he died. Remember Thomas? Let's say, here's my side, touch my hands and see the wound. And I believe, my belief is that even when I go up to heaven, I can still be reminded of the wound of Christ. Still there. That's my conviction. All right? And this man, Jesus, is not a phantom, but a real man with flesh and blood. Right? The man was made in the likeness of sinful men, yet without sin. Truly, Jesus is a man. He is human. But many of us, our thinking sometimes regard the man, the Lord's humanity, the human part of him, as something quite different from us because he's still God. So it can be slightly different from us. We are apt to think, maybe to spiritualize that he's something special, to think of him really not made up of like bones we have and flesh that we have. Whatever, how many pieces of bones we have, how many, among the fingers, all the bones, Jesus has it. So he's purely human and purely God. All the fingers, bones, Jesus has it. But I only want to share with you the sympathy of Christ, all right, is the most precious thing next to his sacrifice. Next to his sacrifice, his sympathy. He sympathizes with his sympathy is the most precious thing next to his sacrifice. Now, if I'm sick or if I'm weak, my weakness, I believe, will definitely touch the Lord's heart and his sympathy. So I can come to him anytime. And if I'm sick, which often does, if we are sick, we can place ourselves where the best and the kindest sympathetic doctor on earth is there to look at us. So he's human. Sympathize. His sympathy is really something that we can always approach him. We can place ourselves where the man, the Jesus, with the greatest skill and sympathy to heal us. Jesus is the man, much as we are. Okay, the second part, the scriptures tell us not only a man, but he's a man of sorrows. Okay, he's a man of sure. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus is not a sorrowful man. That day I was telling James and Edmund in my office, hey, Jesus is not a sorrowful man. And they reply, of course he's not. Something struck me that, yeah, he's not a sorrowful man, right? But he is a man of sorrow. Some men are known as men of pleasure, some are men of wealth, some of eloquence, but Jesus is known as a man of sorrow, very sorrowful, man of sorrow. A man of sorrow, I mean, whose whole life filled with, in a manner of or words, uninterrupted sorrows and suffering in his life. His life was a continuous series of sorrow. Remember when he was a baby, Herod tried to kill him. He had to run to Egypt and to and fro and fro. On the cross, he was met with much sorrow from the hardness and unbelief of man's heart. Very sorrowful. He was sorrowful on the cross because his Father, Heavenly Father, was turning his face away from him. And these are the sorrow that really was so strong and so real in him. He was very exceedingly sorrowful in the Garden of Gethsemane. The scripture describes us, his blood was really like a, his sweat is like a blood. He endured pains of a shameful death. Yeah, how beautiful the words is, surely, right? Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows. I mean, what sorrows do we have today? He's not only able to do it, but he's willing to carry away sorrows. What a friend we have in Jesus. This is one of the stanzas. It says, are we weak and heavy laden? Always cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still my refuge, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He was made of sorrow and grief, actually another thing that is very familiar to him. Yeah, 3 points, yeah. He's a man acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief. Three verses in these few verses. Acquainted with grief in verse 4. He bore our griefs. He was put to grief, verse 10. So three things really talking about griefs of Jesus. Acquainted, bore, he was put to grief. Yeah, verse 3, right? Verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their face and despise and esteem him not. Verse 4, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And then verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He put him to grief. That means God put him to grief. All this described about that Jesus, not only a man of men, not only a man of sorrow, but he's a man of grief, acquainted with grief. And let me stress this afternoon to all of us here that the Lord felt grief, felt it more intensively than any of us in his inmost soul. Right? That's the beauty of Jesus. He's acquainted with grief and it's very deep in him, intensively in his innermost soul. He knows what grief is all about. In other words, grief, acquainted means that he experienced it and he's able to relate to us. He's familiar, in effect, with grief. I love the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Really, I pray that this afternoon, if the Lord is so acquainted with grief and he's a man of sorrow, he can empathize with our sorrow, with our grief, and he is able to see all of us through. I'm going to end my sermon. I'm going to see one video. We're going to listen to this video and let this video song really minister to each one of us. When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey charm me most. love demands my soul, my life, my all.
Jesus, a man of sorrow, a man acquainted with grief. After listening to God's word, even listening to the video, I wonder how many of us will respond to the Lord this afternoon, right? Just a couple of pictures and we end this time with time of ministry. Let us, when we see his nail-pierced hand, let us labor for him. When we see his wounded feet, let us run to him for help. And when we see his wounded side, remember when they spear him, water and blood flowed down. When we see that in the scriptures, let us give him our heart. When we see his torn, pierced head, let us give him our thoughts. And most important, the wounds, as we see the wounds on his back, give him our strength for his service. Truly, God is a man of sorrow. Let us love the man of sorrows as we think of how much he has loved us. Can I invite you to close your eyes? We're going to pray. I'm going to spend this time as what we have always in a Saturday service to open the altar for a time of ministry. We're going to sing this song, When I Survey with Wondrous Cross. Even as we sing the first song and then after the first stanza, really the altar is open. Let us come forward to receive from God. As we see his wound, as we see his hands, let us respond, right? When we see his nail-pierced hands, let us labor for him. When we see his wounded feet, let us run to him for his help. When we see his wounded side, the blood and the water flow, the scar on his side, let us give him our heart. When we see his pierced head, let us give him our thoughts. Let us rise as we sing this song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.